Headlights on the Prairie, Essays on Home by Robert Rabin. Read by the author. Also available in paperback from University Press of Kansas. And in CD format from PerfectMixStudios.com. More information at RobertRabin.com. To Alyssa, forever and always. Chapter 1, Why I Hate the Wizard of Oz. Imagine having the land of your birth, a place about which you have complex and wildly ambivalent feelings, reduced to a black and white cartoon. Someone asks you where you're from, and when you reply, Kansas, this well-meaning stranger grins and blurts out, "Where's Toto?" "Oh, that's right. We're not in Kansas anymore." You get this in New York, Indiana, California. Even as far afield as Paris, you get it. Kansas, ah oui, les munchkins. How to say you hail from a place uninhabited by 10 men and sweet little girls in pinafores, a demanding, starkly beautiful place with 20-mile views, sunflowers as big as your head, and night skies so clear that you might believe yourself to have been born among stars. Where the wind blows without cease and flies bite like vampires, and the stink of the slaughterhouse overhangs everything like a toxic cloud. Where it's not unusual for a kid like you to receive his first shotgun at 10, drive a wheat truck at 12, and solo in a Beechcraft Debonair at 14 or 15. Does that sound like Oz? You want to ask. But you don't. Why bother? When the tornado came and swept you away, as you knew all along it would, it was not to drop you into some technicolor fantasy, but rather into the same world of Applebee's and Best Buy the jokesters inhabit. That's the context here. That's the reason you refused to join Dorothy's fan club. Chapter 2, Bullet in the Brain. One of my fourth grade teachers, an ancient nun named Sister Urban, expressed concern about a tendency I had to blank out during class. One minute I'd be paying attention, but the next I'd be staring off into space, completely unresponsive. 20 or 30 seconds might go by before the episode ended and I'd return to consciousness, seemingly unaware that any of it had happened. Needless to say, it wasn't long before my mother dragged me off to see our family doctor, who examined me briefly before suggesting that I be seen by a specialist in Wichita, 3 hours away. "Do you really think that's necessary?" my mother asked. "Who knows?" Dr. Baum said, shrugging. "But in these kinds of cases, I'd say it's better to be safe than sorry." In the days to come, the phrases, "these kinds of cases," and "better safe than sorry," became a kind of mantra my mother repeated whenever she felt pressed to justify the trip, either to herself, to one of her neighborhood friends, or, most important, to my father, whose standard response to reports of illness or injury was some variation of, "Hell, just look at him. There's nothing wrong with that kid." As it happened, I agreed with my father's assessment. Deep in my bones, I knew I was okay. However, that didn't mean I was going to let an opportunity as sweet as this pass me by. The way I saw it, a trip with my mother to the big city of Wichita was bound to yield all manner of riches. At the very least, we'd get to eat lunch at McDonald's or Burger King, neither of which existed in Dodge City circa 1974. And should we happen to venture into a sporting goods store, or better yet, a mall, well, who could say what merchandise I might not talk her into buying me? Although she spent many happy summers in the Flint Hills town of Maple Hill, my mother was born and raised in Wichita, where she moved after her mother married for the second time. In a way, you